Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy, knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
I'm Darwin Zook. Thanks for tuning in to MLB Extras Podcast, Royals Edition. Pleased to be joined by KC reporter Jeffrey Flanagan. Jeffrey, we appreciate the time. As always, my friend, let's get right to it. It's hot stove season. World Series is over. Teams making moves, including the Royals, of course. And they made a move right away in the last couple days, inking Willy Peralta to a one-year deal. 14 for 14 and save opportunities since taking over the closer role mid-season last year. Was this kind of a no-brainer for the Royals and Peralta to come back together for another year?
Yeah, I really believe that. They really didn't have a closer once they traded Kelvin Herrera in June. And he was a guy they signed last year from the Brewers. And it toyed with the idea of him possibly being a starter. But I always felt like the Royals are so good at transitioning failed starters, if you will, into great closers like Wade Davis and Luke Hochever and a bunch of other guys. And I thought he was a great candidate because he could throw in the mid to upper 90s. And once he got the closer's role, as you mentioned, he was 14 out of 14. Really an easy decision, I think, because the team option they had on him for 2019 was just $3 million, and as you know, that's pretty cheap in today's game. And as they also transition through this rebuild, they're certainly going to probably find a closer candidate in their own system. But until then, you've got a guy who's a great clubhouse guy who can get the job done, can you know, really throw some nasty sliders and nasty fastballs, and made a pretty good decision. They did restructure the deal a little bit. He was due $3 million as a team option. He'll get basically 3.25 guaranteed, 2.25 base, with a $7 million option, mutual option in 2020 with a $1 million buyout. So he's got some incentives too. If he finishes, I found out through a source, if he finishes 55 games this year, he'll get an extra $1 million. So good deal for both sides.
Absolutely. And certainly, like you said, a stopgap for potentially a younger player from the organization to come up and assume the closer role eventually. A couple guys that the Royals did decline options are, kind of expected, correct me if I'm wrong, pitcher Jason Hamill and shortstop Alcides Escobar. Does that kind of clear the way on the ladder there with Escobar for Adalberto Mondesi at 23 years old to take over full-time at shortstop?
No, absolutely. We saw that in the last 6 weeks of the season. And, you know, Esky did a great job mentoring Mondesi over this past season. And Esky did not have a mutual option, so it was just basically a flat one-year deal. And we knew that, you know, he would become a free agent this week. And Mondy's the future. He's one of the most exciting players, really, in maybe in all of baseball. A rare five-tool guy, tremendous arm, tremendous range, tremendous power, and a switch hitter. He's probably going to I'd be stunned if he plays a full season, if he doesn't win the stolen base title next year. He stole over 30 bases in less than 6 weeks. So, I mean, he's a guy who could probably steal 60 to 70 bases. He's that talented. So, yeah, he's definitely the shortstop going forward. And not sure what's going to happen with Esky. He made a great contribution here. Was certainly a key figure in them getting to two straight World Series and winning one. 2014 ALCS MVP. Certainly much appreciated for his efforts here. Do they bring him back as a utility guy? Who knows? But Mondesi is definitely the shortstop going forward.
Yeah, such a fun player to watch, no question about it. Taking over full time now at short. A couple other players that are definitely enjoyable to tune into: the Gold Glove finalists Salvador Perez and Alex Gordon. Those Gold Glove finalists being or the winners being announced coming up November 4th. Those guys have a chance to take home some hardware.
Yeah, and it obviously not the first time for either one, but I really thought that Alex Gordon, he didn't get it last year, but I thought he had one of his best defensive years of his career. I mean, he was just absolutely outstanding. And Salvi, too, who lost out to Maldonado last year, I thought he bounced back, and I'd be kind of surprised if he doesn't get it here in 2018, because he just had a terrific defensive year. And you know, the Royals, perhaps more than some other teams, and I'm not trying to make judgments, but they've always been defensive oriented. It's partly based on the ballpark they play in, but also Dayton Moore and his staff really believe in that side of the game. So they'd be very proud to get two more gold gloves.
Talking with Jeffrey Flanagan, Royals reporter. And Jeffrey, Japan exhibition coming up in next week, November 9th to 15th. And you got a pitcher, Scott Barlow, and Whit Merrifield, an infielder, going over to Japan to participate in this exhibition. I believe it's 7 games. You can watch some of those on MLB Network. Good opportunity, right, for Barlow and Merrifield going over to play against some Japanese all-stars as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're really intrigued by Scott Barlow. I mean, he's a guy who you know, isn't on everyone's radar right now, but he's got electric stuff at times, and he could definitely be a part of the future in the rotation or the bullpen going forward. And obviously, we all know about Whit Merrifield. Look, he led the major leagues in hits and stolen bases. So, you know, we've written about him a million times. He's an incredible success story. He's going on 30 years old now, but he's a super utility guy, can play any position basically in the field, but I think he'll end up settling at second base, and had another terrific year as a full-time second baseman basically, and good opportunity for him. I know he's excited about it. He's thrilled to be able to go out there and do that, and he's a big part of this future too.
And as we take a step back, Jeffrey, kind of look at a big picture thing in terms of GM Dayton Moore, does he have the flexibility here in the offseason to make some moves maybe outside the organization, or is a lot of the process of this offseason going to be about developing talent within the organization? Just kind of a general question about direction of the Royals here as we move forward in the 2018 offseason.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a very active offseason, to be honest. You know, last year was kind of the first year of the rebuild, but it was kind of a weird transition first year. Where they signed a bunch of veterans in spring training on one-year deals, you know, mainly to with the opportunity to flip them and maybe get, you know, some more prospects in the organization. But this offseason, now they're officially full rebuild. So they're going to be trim payroll for sure. You know, some of that's just by attrition, because you mentioned guys like Jason Hamill and Eske. Those guys will come off the payroll. And just going forward, they've got to get that payroll down, and then they'll kind of stock it. And when they get good again, which may be a year or a year and a half, then I can see them going active again in the free agent market. I do think, though, to be fair, I think they will try to find some cost-efficient bullpen help. And look, every team is trying to do that, right? So, but I think, you know, Dayton Moore and his staff have proven over the years that they're very, very good at that. You know, they come up with the Ryan Madsens and the Joe Blantons in the past and got effective years out of them. And I think that's the direction they're going to go this offseason, and just, you know, shore up that bullpen. I don't think you're going to see a lot of big deals in terms of position players or starting pitchers. They've got enough depth there, and they want to develop. But the bullpen right now was a big issue last year, and I think that'll be their focus this offseason.
Yeah, no question, Jeffrey. And a person who was very important in terms of the development of young pitchers with the Royals has passed away. Senior pitching advisor Bill Fisher, age of 88. I was really saddened when I read about this, because I grew up in the 80s, and Bill Fisher was a pitching coach with the Red Sox back then, when that World Series team 1986. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about Bill Fisher and his role over the years and what an integral role he had in baseball over the last couple decades.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy who's been in baseball for 71 years. And yeah, and Dayton brought him in 2007. He first met him in 1994 in the Atlanta organization. And look, everybody in baseball knows Fish. I mean, you saw all the tributes on Twitter yesterday, you know, from Roger Clemens on. I mean, he had such an impact on so many people. And he was such a terrific guy. And what I always remember about Fish was he was a guy who was just completely honest, just bluntly honest. If you didn't want to hear the truth, don't ask him, because sometimes you didn't want to hear the answer. He was that kind of guy. And, you know, he was a terrific pitcher at his time, too. Amazingly, to this day, he still holds the major league record for most consecutive innings without a walk, which is, I think, 84 to third inning. And that's what he emphasized as a pitching coach, as an advisor, and just a terrific, terrific guy. And look, yesterday I talked to so many people in the Royals organization and other people around baseball. It was a sad, sad day to lose someone like that who had such an impact on so many people. And even at 88 or 85, or, you know, he could connect with younger players. And so many young players on the Royals reached out on Twitter too and gave him a tribute. So yeah, the baseball world is mourning his loss.
Yeah, Jeffrey, thanks for sharing those memories with us. And he certainly will be remembered not only in the Royals organization, but like you said, all of baseball as well. Jeffrey, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. And I know we'll be talking to you quite a bit during the off season. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Darwin.
Absolutely. Jeffrey Flanagan joining us on MLB Extras.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.